works with the food bank and the Hope Center. They're here this morning to share the ministry of the Door of Hope in our community with us. I'm sure they'll challenge us each individually with their presentation this morning. So Yanita and Derek, if you could come forward, please, and may God bless you as you minister to us this morning.
Looks like we might be playing with the mic. There's a little height difference here. We'll do our best, though. Who could follow those songs? They're absolutely very appropriate for the door and the people of the door. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Yanita Issa. I'm the executive director at the Door of Hope. And I've worked at the Door of Hope since 2004. So you see that I'm getting older, but I'm getting older at the door too, which is a good thing. The Door of Hope is located downtown, and the whole goal and the vision of the four men who started it over 25 years ago now was to provide a place where people could be, a place where people would be welcome, a place where people would feel like they belonged and that somebody cared. We hope and believe and work towards all the time to continue that vision, because it's a wonderful vision. We've grown a little bit over the years. When it first began, I think there was four guys, 20 bucks, and a coffee pot. Well, we've still got less than 20 bucks, but we do have a coffee pot, and there's more than four guys now, so I think we're on the right path. What we are and what we have now is a faith-based ministry, first and foremost. And God called us, each one of us who worked there, some of us, I'll admit, reluctantly, but who called us to do what he wanted us to do with the people of Meadow Lake who had no one and had nowhere to be. So we have a drop-in center. You can come through our main doors from 8:30 to 4, Monday to Friday, and you can be there all day, coffee and tea. There's a breakfast put out, there's lunch served every day, there's snacks in the afternoon because our cook is amazing, Donna Waugh, sitting over there, and she provides amazing food for people every single day. We are a soup kitchen as well, and that's where Donna works. She looks after our soup kitchen and our little thrift store. And about a month or 6 weeks ago, somewhere in there, we had our all-time total of people served for lunch, and it was 131. All of that food is donated by and we receive through the generosity of others. We are supported amazingly well in our community, especially by our two grocery stores. They are amazing. We get food from them every day. And it's a privilege to be able to serve that many meals to people who need food. We're a food bank, and I'm going to just talk about it lightly because I know Derek's going to go more into depth about the food bank. And the food bank, we've had numbers in the 30s. We've not seen that before last year sometime, I believe. We do food bank Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Again, all donated food. We do not buy anything. We are very fortunate to be able to have the good quality hampers that we do have. And we feel very blessed to be able to do this. We have a 16-unit apartment building in the back. It's a transition housing unit. And it is full. It has been full for a long time, except for one very teeny bachelor's apartment, which has turned into the storage room. We couldn't fit anybody in it with all our storage stuff. What else do we do, Derek? Oh, yes. We run a program within the apartment building, and we staff it in a contract with MSS, Ministry of Social Services, to work with families who have either lost their children to the Ministry of Social Services, about to lose them, or who are working toward getting them back. And we have two staff who work in that program, and it is, in the eyes of the Ministry of Social Services, They are last chance folks in the fact of keeping their families together. So it's very, very challenging for the staff, but it can be very, very, very rewarding as well. We, on a day-to-day basis, we are a group who pitches in and helps each other. If Reclaim is picked up, Reclaim, in case you don't know, is the stuff that's left over from the stores that's donated to the food bank. And so that's picked up Monday to Friday as well. And when that load comes in, we all pitch in and help, and we all pitch in and help serve lunch, and we all sort stuff. We also are members of Food Banks Canada as an affiliate member, member of Food Bank Saskatchewan. So we actually get food through the national NFSS, which is the food share from Food Banks Canada, distributed to the provinces and then into each individual food bank. That helps us quite a bit. We also receive dented cans and non-food items and good food items, and occasionally the real gift of produce or fruit that we can pass along from Food Bank Saskatchewan. We're small staff. There are five of us who work in the main building, and our daycare, which is a 45-space, fully licensed childcare facility, has about 10 or 11 staff. And so there's lots of work, and not lots of us. That's where we get our wonderful and amazing volunteers. We have some very, very amazing volunteers. We have a guy who's recently retired who comes in and helps, mostly in the food bank, but will do absolutely anything. And that place has never looked so spiffy. It's pretty clean, it's pretty organized, which is such a help when food hampers are being prepared. He prepares food hampers. We have our lunch volunteers. We have people who come in pretty much every day, Monday to Friday, who help us serve our lunch and who are grown to be part of the Door of Hope. All of these folks are really important to us, but they're coming really, really important to the people of the Door. It's important to know names. It's important to say hello. It's important to recognize someone and say their name. I wonder to myself sometimes, what would it be like if I went around from day to day and no one said hi to me, no one said how are you, and nobody knew or said my name? I think my world would be a lot different. You know, when God calls you to do something, A, he doesn't fool around, and B, he doesn't make mistakes. And I admittedly am one of those folks who came kicking and screaming, but boy, you're going to have to drag me out kicking and screaming when I go, because I'm in for the long haul. And it's a passion for all of us. We love what we do. People who are not called to work for God at the Door of Hope don't last very long. And those who are, we have some people who have been there quite a long time. And we start our day with prayer and a little staff meeting every morning at 8. So that we often pray, if we know someone's struggling, if we know someone's hurting, if we know someone needs help, we pray for these folks, believing fully that God hears us, knowing that he loves these folks just 10 times, 20 times, a million times more than we do. And we know how much we care. So how much more does God care for the ignored, the downtrodden, the hurt, the hungry, the scarred? Hey, that's us too, come to think of it, isn't it? That's all of us. Amen. So we're looking after our own. We're feeding our own. We're caring for our own. It's a struggle. It's a financial struggle. We don't have money, and we got hit with a tax bill this year that is encouraging me in a very strong way to try and find another $1,000 a month to pay that tax bill. I've appealed it, but we haven't heard if we'll get a break in it or not, but otherwise we have to face this increase with faith and common sense and scratching out items we don't need so that we can meet this obligation. We're getting too small. We've grown so much, our place is full, our food bank has grown, that we struggle to for the space that we need to do stuff. We seat roughly about 75 folks a day at a time. So when we have 131, obviously it's people coming and going and coming and going. But over the long term, we will need additional funds, additional ideas, additional support from the community, even though in the last few years, that also has really grown. There was the day when I first started where that wasn't necessarily true. The Door of Hope has always had its strong supporters like you guys. But we've seen a growth in that, and that people are coming in from the community saying, what can we do? Can we help? Oh, I cleaned my cupboards. You know, can you use this stuff? Or I'm having a wedding, and can you use the leftovers? All of that makes such a difference to us. But what really matters is your prayers. I know lots of you folks are praying for us on a daily basis. If you're not, you can start today. We'd appreciate it very, very much if you did and you would. If you've got any extra money, we'll take that too. So having said that, I'm just going to turn this over to Derek. He's going to fill you in on a few other things. And thank you for that.
Okay, I'm going to read a passage in Matthew here to start. Matthew 25, familiar passage, one you'd probably expect us to be talking about. Then the king will say to those on his right, come you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you by the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. So now that everyone feels sufficiently guilty, I'll start. It's not intended to be a guilt trip, but rather a reminder of what is expected of us as Christians, as Jesus followers. Not a reminder of working for our salvation, but a reminder of our salvation inevitably bringing it about good works. And, you know, I've been wondering why this is such an uncomfortable topic sometimes, with some people anyway. You know, is it because we so often fail in this regard? Is it because we see the poor as something different than we tend to envision the poor meaning in the Bible? You know, people might think, well, people were poor because of, you know, spending all their money on cocaine and meth, you know, in the time of Jesus, so, you know, it's different now. The thing is, there were still addictions then, and abusive lifestyles, and, you know, alcoholism, gambling problems, prostitution. And regardless of the specific issue, we need to take a look at the internal, like what's going on internally in people that's causing these kinds of things. You know, Dion already kind of talked about it a bit there, but you, like something that can lead people into destructive lifestyles, you know, and that's pretty obvious, is brokenness. People are so broken. I believe this is what causes poverty so much of the time in our environment here. Like brokenness means pain, you know, pain from loss, from abuse, from dysfunction, betrayal. And if a person is in pain, what do? You try and relieve the pain. And how you do that is, you know, you use what's available to you, or you use what you've seen used as a pain reliever. And I mean, that's instinct. That's what people do. And so often, you know, what people are doing to relieve their pain or forget, this is what's leading them down a life of destruction. And you know, whatever people are using to try and to heal themselves in that way, it's leading them into the poverty physically and spiritually. I wanted to share just a story of what happened, of something that happened once, quite probably in the fall. I don't remember when it was, fall or winter, at the Door of Hope. It was busy. We were understaffed. I think Unita might have been on holidays or something. So we were running around. I was in the food bank, Like always. Just kidding. Never. I was in the food bank and I was busy. We were running around and as I was walking back and forth, I saw down the hallway there was a lady I didn't recognize standing in the hallway. And she said, "Excuse me, I need to talk to somebody." And so I just kind of stopped and I was, "What's up? How can I help you?" And I could tell right away that this lady was really troubled. And she said, I just need to talk to someone really bad," kind of thing. And so we went out and sat down at the chairs, and she started to talk to me. And then she said, "People are listening. They're watching me. I can't." So we went into the food bank and grabbed a couple stools and sat down, and I just proceeded to listen to her. And this whole situation was crazy. I'm a mid-20s, white guy, and this lady was probably, 60 years old or something, and she was First Nation, and had never met her before in my life. So already the cultural divide, that wall, the age gap, everything, she approached me, someone she had no idea, never even met, and already this is a huge flag of how desperate this woman was. And she just proceeded to tell me about her situation. She's not from here. She doesn't live here anymore either. But she had moved here a while ago and got into this relationship with this guy. And through this relationship, it was an abusive relationship. She started using cocaine with this guy and developed a cocaine addiction. And she was at a point where she had no money left. She had to pay rent. She was getting kicked out of her place because she didn't have money for rent because she spent it on cocaine. She was telling me this straight up. "I have no one to blame but myself," she said. "But I don't know what to do. I don't know how to get out of this. I have no money. I'm about to be homeless." And this was so hard. This was so hard to listen to. This lady was tearing the whole time she was telling me this. She was angry, but she was... she was just at the end of the line. And it was just this huge symbol of utter brokenness. And, I was able to pray for her a couple times, and I grabbed her a Bible and stuff. But she really needed to be heard in this time and not really preached to, although I tried to, have any input I could have. But, something that really touched me was when we were kind of done and I wanted to pray for her again, and I was standing up and praying for her, and she just broke down weeping and just ran and embraced me the whole time I was praying. She just wouldn't let go. This woman I'd never met, totally different culture, totally different age gap, like never met her before. It was such a loud statement of brokenness in this community. Yeah, it was just an example of what people are struggling with here, the people that we serve at the Door of Hope. People are struggling with, and all these things are spiritual bondages. All these addictions have spiritual bondage roots. I mean, they're bonded to drugs, to alcohol, anger, depression, gambling. And they want freedom from it, but they don't know how. They need Jesus Christ. That's what it comes down to. And we see it all the time, people trying to quit. People trying to get clean, and then they fall, and it's hard to see, but I can't imagine how hard it is for them and how discouraging it is for them. The people need spiritual nourishment here, and we try to do that, and it's an area that we long to serve in more, but it's difficult, as Anita was talking about financial stuff. I mean, you only have so many resources to be able to do that. I think in the past they might have had a worker that was on the floor just ministering with people. We don't have that. We can't have that right now. This is why it's so important to keep supporting this organization. I mean, the dysfunction and the hurt in this town is unbelievable. We'd love to be able to have free counseling and all that kind of stuff at the Door. And that's what we long for down the road. And that's why we need so much prayer. Honestly, we need so much prayer at the Door of Hope for a staff, for, you know, like we face spiritual attacks as everyone does, but I mean, it's sometimes it's pretty hard there. I mean, sometimes it's within staff even. Sometimes it's tensions or things going on there. Sometimes it's with people coming in. You know, Satan's always trying to tear it apart, to bring it down in some way or another, to discourage us, to make us critical and angry, or for myself anyway, that those are the things that I struggle with. I mean, you know, I can talk about people being critical of Door Hope, and I'm one of the worst ones. Sometimes I've caught myself so many times being so critical of the own place I work, and it's Satan putting all these thoughts, like we need protection so badly there. You know, and something we have done since last September, we made a little Bible stand, we call it, and there's the three of us staff that just chip in regularly for it, to buy all the Bibles and the books and tracts and stuff and it's all free. We just set it up there, and it's a small gesture, but it's actually been a big thing. Like, we've given out well over 50 Bibles from it, and lots of booklets and lots of tracts, and it's been kind of a cool silent ministry in that sense, just to keep it stocked. And you know, if anyone ever is interested in contributing to that specifically, you could probably talk to Unita about donation and maybe a specific donation for that. But I wanted to end with a passage from Hosea 11. In the NLT, it says, "When Israel was a child, I loved him, and I called my son out of Egypt. But the more I called to him, the farther he moved from me, offering sacrifices to Baal and burning incense to idols. I myself taught Israel how to walk, leading him along by the hand. But he doesn't know or even care that it was I who took care of him. I led Israel along with my ropes of kindness and love. I lifted the yoke from his neck, and I myself stooped to feed him." To me, this is such a beautiful picture of God's love of a nation that continually ran from him, abandoned him, disgraced him, angered him, mocked him, let him down, disobeyed him. You know, and though he would punish them and rebuke them, he still loved them. And this passage is kind of in the middle of, you know, some stern rebuking and stuff. And it's just this beautiful parallel to me, you know, to us as Christians, or myself anyway. You know, I've ran from God. I've disgraced him. I've angered him. I've mocked him. I've let him down. I've disobeyed him. And yet he still loves me. And he still forgives me when I repent of these things. And I still have to face consequences, but if the creator of this universe is so patient and loving to someone so undeserving who abuses his grace and abuses his salvation, then how can we stand by and not be forgiving and loving to those that are around us that are lost and hurting and don't have Jesus most of the time? You know, it's a sobering reminder to me anyway when I look at things like that. To see how, you know, I tend to put myself on a pedestal sometimes, especially when you're around people of addictions all the time. You know, but they're struggling with a sin and an emptiness, and I still struggle with sin too, and it might not show itself in the same ways, but it's so important to humble ourselves in that way. Yeah, that's pretty well all I had to say.
Thanks, Derek. I would just like to extend to everyone an invitation to come on down, sit with us, have a cup of coffee, see who's there, say hello. I bet you'll be pleasantly surprised. Thank you, guys.
Thank you very much, Unita and Derek, for the update and challenges that you've advised us about from the Door of Hope. We appreciate that very much. Hey, let's bow our heads and let's pray for the Door of Hope. Father, we thank you so much that we have the Door of Hope here in our community of Meadow Lake. We thank you that it's faith-based, that you are the foundation. You are the heart and soul, the center of the Door of Hope. And Father, we ask that you meet the needs, that you pour your blessings upon the folks that come through the doors of the Door of Hope, and also upon the staff that work at the Door of Hope. We praise and thank you for the great expectations we have of what you are going to, of what you are doing now at the Door of Hope and what you're going to do in the future. We give you the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you please rise for the benediction, please? May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. You are dismissed and have a great remainder of the Canada Day long weekend. Have a good one.